To hear all the clips of the show like this and more, please sign up to our weekly Nolan newsletter at bbc.co.uk/Nolan. Now, the reality is that the IRA was never defeated, and it was Irish Republicans, including the IRA leadership, who took bold steps to bolster the peace process. So says the Sinn Féin president, Gerry Adams, in an article posted on their website yesterday. 10 years ago this week, the IRA formally ended its armed campaign. Gerry Adams was responding to David Cameron, saying in a recent speech that British resolve saw off the IRA's assaults on our way of life. So, was the IRA defeated or not? The former Army Captain Doug Beattie of the Ulster Unionist Party is with us today. Good morning to you, Doug.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the commentator, Danny Morrison, formerly of Sinn Féin. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning.
Were they defeated, Doug?
Well, you know, defeated is very emotive language, but let's look at this through primary colours. The IRA did not achieve their aim of forcing the people of Northern Ireland into a united Ireland. They did not achieve their aims of breaking up the United Kingdom. And in fact, IRA members now are part of the very fabric of the establishment, and Northern Ireland foundations are getting deeper and deeper. So absolutely, the IRA was defeated. And they were defeated by the will of the people and the rule of law. Now, that's not to say that republicanism was defeated, but most definitely the IRA was.
Yeah, because if it was a war, Danny Morrison, and the IRA's war aim was to achieve a united Ireland, they didn't get it, so they failed.
Well, the IRA had three main aims, which I think they announced in 1972, which was a declaration of the British by the British government of the right of the Irish people to national self-determination. A withdrawal within the lifetime of a parliament, military withdrawal within the lifetime of a parliament, and amnesty for all political prisoners. So while they didn't achieve all of their immediate demands, they achieved some of them. And what's left out of this equation by... Is it Doug?
Yes, it is, Danny.
Yeah. What's left out of this equation by Doug is the fact that there was... The IRA took, in my opinion, a very correct moral decision to end the armed conflict because there was a military stalemate. So I don't think Doug, or maybe he is arguing, that the British Army defeated the IRA, because that is not the case. And in fact, if you listen to some of the criticisms of Republican dissidents, they would argue that if the IRA had continued, it would have increased its position and increased what it got. Now, I think the IRA took the proper decision, which was that yes, they could fight on for another 15, 20 years or more, depending on how they were rearmed, but that would not necessarily have improved their negotiating position or the negotiating muscle of the nationalist community. So they took the right decision. And, you know, obviously, whenever there is a military stalemate, obviously, when there's a ceasefire, it's going to go to negotiation, it's going to go to compromise, and that is what happened here. There was an honourable compromise.
And Doug Beattie, I guess the unionists, including some in your party, who fought against power sharing, they didn't win either, did they?
No, I guess they didn't. And there's some parties who stood in the 70s and says, we will never do power sharing, and here we are today. And they are power sharing, but that's not the question. The question is, the IRA, as an Irish Republican army, let's stick with the word army, laid down its weapons because it was beaten to a standstill. Now, what I will concede to Danny is it wasn't beaten to a standstill by the British military. It was beaten to a standstill by the will of the people and the rule of law, and they set their weapons down. And the people who are in that army are now part of the establishment. They are now traipsing themselves off to Westminster to hold talks with the establishment. They're getting paid by the establishment. They represent the establishment. Are you telling me that the IRA's aims were for Martin McGuinness to gorge himself with the Queen and banquets? No, it wasn't. The IRA was beaten to a standstill, so they laid down their weapons, and they that's the simplest way to look at it.
Well, listen to this pejorative language come from Doug. You know, the point, very important.
Danny, it's not, I've already said, republicanism wasn't defeated. It was most definitely not defeated. And republicanism has a voice.
Firstly, it is pejorative.
More than anyone else.
First of all, the military side of the IRA.
I think we need to give Danny Morrison a bit of space.
I pay taxes. My parents, when they were alive, paid taxes. My grandparents paid taxes and worked. You know, my grandfather was fought in the First World War and in the Second World War. We pay taxes. So don't give us this, we're getting paid by Westminster. Sinn Féin, because it refuses to take an oath of allegiance to the British Queen, forgoes its salaries. Yes, they get expenses for constituency costs, but that is what their own people are paying for, the people who work here, who are contributing towards the system. So, in my opinion, whenever you hear this slur that Sinn Féin is administering British rule, such a lot of nonsense. Sinn Féin is administering rule on behalf of the people who live here.
Here's Gareth in Belfast. Morning, Gareth.
Hi.
So the question this morning, was the IRA defeated or undefeated? 08459 555 678. Gerry Adams says the IRA was never defeated.
Go on, Gareth.
They weren't defeated by force. They were defeated by... They were losing support of the people at the time, and they thought they might as well jump into the peace process before they were pushed. And they got to the stage they were just making the country unworkable. They were a thorn in Westminster's side, and Sinn Féin are now doing that politically. They're making this country unworkable. I mean, the Assembly's going to fall soon by the looks of things. They're just being a thorn in the side, so Westminster and the people of Britain will just go, look, we're sick of them, get rid of them. And then they will have...
Or they're fighting... Or, Gareth, they're genuinely fighting against welfare cuts.
But it's counterproductive. You know, the rest of the country's going to hell while they're trying to save a percentage of benefits. It's unworkable. Then, even the way they did it, they agreed and agreed and agreed. Oh, yeah, welfare reforms, that's okay, that's okay. Just before they were meant to be brought into place, no, we don't agree with it. No, they're just trying to be a thorn in the side. They're trying to be just annoying.
Sinn Féin would not agree with that version of how things unfolded, Gareth. But what do you make, and Doug and Danny, we'll ask you the same question. Never mind what Gerry Adams has said about the IRA not being defeated. Is it wise for Cameron to say that the British saw off the IRA's assaults on our way of life? Doug, did he really need to do that?
No, he did not.
Do you agree with him?
I agree that the IRA was defeated, but that's not the point. And I said this at the very start. It's very emotive language. Nobody wants to be told that they have been beaten. And I think that the Prime Minister was ill-advised to use those words. But however, we're debating the fact is, were they? And I genuinely believe they were. Now, we don't want to spin this conversation off onto what Sinn Féin is doing and what Sinn Féin is not doing. I'm talking about the Irish Republican Army, the aims that they stated and what they tried to achieve with the bomb and the bullet. And they did not achieve it. It's as simple as that. And if you don't achieve it, then you lose. If you lose, you are beaten.
Well, it went so far. It went as far as it could, as far as I am concerned. You had a situation where the unionists, the establishment for 50 years, were involved in the process of discrimination, where an ISIS made up majority of people who immigrated. And during the conflict here, when the Civil Rights March came out, that organisation was repressed. And so you had the re-emergence of the IRA post-1969 after the pogroms and after the curfew. And the IRA fought an armed struggle its major aim was British withdrawal from Ireland. But because there was a military stalemate, that was not achieved. Of course that was not achieved. But the aim of reunifying Ireland upon the conviction that it is the best means of government for the people here, people who have the interests of the ordinary people here, and not a British government or not a Secretary of State who flies in for an hour here and an hour there, that still remains the major objective.
Do you think Irish unity is closer than it was in 69 or further away, Danny?
Well, first of all, let me put it like this. In 1969, and for many, many years, right up until Ian Paisley's conversion, the majority of unionist politicians were opposed to sharing power, were opposed to recognising the rights of the nationalist community, and this led to all sorts of complications. So what your question actually is quite academic. Would the unionists have come into power sharing and recognising cross-border bodies and all Ireland bodies and signed up to the Good Friday Agreement in the absence of there being no conflict? And that is a question you have to put to unionists.
Gabby and Yuri. Morning, Gabby.
Morning, Stephen. Danny's there and he's trying to justify the unjustifiable. We silly things like the Irish Language Act. We've been denied it. Why? Because it's not going to happen. The Mays, the whole project at the Mays, it's been denied. Unionists block it. Danny's trying to justify the great and the good.
What's that got to do with whether the IRA were defeated or not?
No, hold on.
That's what we're asking about today.
Well, it's plain and simple. The IRA could never be defeated because they are the people, full stop. Now, the peace process is brilliant, Stephen.
They are the people, full stop? What do you mean by that?
They cannot be. All this is done, took early retirement. The men that fought the war are still there. The British had to negotiate. If the British didn't need to negotiate, they wouldn't have. We've seen them right across the world. The British don't negotiate when they can crush
David
somebody.
Cameron says they saw off the IRA's assaults on our way of life.
David Cameron's not a military man. He knows nothing about the conflict. He knows even less about politics. I mean, I'm not going to say on the radio what he is, but I mean, the bottom line about the whole thing is, I mean, were they defeated? They were sold a pup. They were promised all this, the same as the people in Scotland were promised this and that, and Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness bought into it. And any Sinn Féin council with a backbone was got rid of because they were rocking the boat and told they were dissidents. And they're not dissidents. They're honourable people who backed the call for peace.
Sinn Féin would totally reject that, Gabby.
Sinn Féin would reject. I mean, Martin McGuinness had a court cheek on him last week. A simple wee thing, like a woman's funeral where she was getting accorded honours with the Republican tradition. He said it was a disgrace. No, he didn't say it was a disgrace when he was carrying the coffins. You know, let's call a spade a spade. Don't be hypocritical. Stand up for where you come from. I mean, the unionists haven't backed one iota about their traditions. Why should we have to do the same about ours?
Gabby, thank you.
Sorry, just to respond to that there, Stephen. I mean, that's not how the unionists see things, Gabby. I mean, their perception of it is, according to the things they've been saying, this includes, for example, DUP people standing to dwell protest, is that they see this as an erosion. Everything has been, you know, the nicest are getting everything, we're getting nothing. And there's an attack on our culture, which I believe is not true, but that's the perception that is perpetuated there amongst the unions. So the unionists, in terms of the loss of the RUC, etc., in terms of the military with being withdrawn from the border, they see things differently. And we have to try and, in order to build peace and confidence, and in order to build relationships, we have to try and see things from each other's point of view.
So, and Doug Beattie, an erosion of our culture. How many times have we heard that from loyalists and unionists? It doesn't sound like the IRA have been defeated or anybody else has been defeated when you hear loyalists and unionists saying that their culture has been eroded.
No, and I've got to say there are many people out there from unionist and loyalist background who are not comfortable with their own culture at the minute, and they feel that they're under attack. I do not think that's the case. I think we are no closer to United Ireland now than we were 30 years ago, and we'll be no closer to United Ireland in 30 years' time. But we have to have a distinction here, the distinction between republicanism and what they're trying to achieve through peaceful means, and I have no issue with what they're trying to do through peaceful means, and the IRA, who tried to achieve it through violence. Now, the violence part of that republicanism, the IRA, was defeated. They had to lay down their weapons because they weren't getting anywhere. Now, that has not stopped the honest moving forward of the Republican cause, and I have no issue with that whatsoever, as long as it's done in a peaceful manner.
Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Just listen to your argument. What I would say is that we'll talk about what society evolved. I think the IRA were a block on the evolution. I think if it hadn't been the IRA, you'd have much closer cooperation with the South. But in terms of where they won, what they wanted was Brits out, and they didn't get it. So on that basis, they can't have won. But what I would say is, I would challenge Danny, tell us what the IRA achieved, and then on one column, what they achieved, and in another column, put down the cost. Over 4,000 people killed, lives spent, wasted in prison, people who are injured, people who are grieving, still grieving lost relatives. Put that in the other column, and let Danny tell us whether or not it's worthwhile. I've been on your show before.
What's interesting is that your argument is predicated on the fact that the IRA were responsible for the conflict, and I dispute that completely. And I can point out to you, factually, the statistics for all of the people who lost their lives prior to the IRA firing the first shot. And the majority of the people who lost their lives prior to the IRA firing the first shot were people who were killed by the RUC.
Are you trying to convince us, Dan, that the IRA weren't responsible?
Of course the IRA were responsible.
Yeah, but the Abercorn bombing, the IRA didn't do the Abercorn bombing.
Look at the way you approach this.
The Abercorn bombing, Danny.
Listen,
Who set off the Abercorn bomb?
I do not deny all of those things.
I think we've got to let him finish.
At the same time, try and approach this impartially. Look at it from what happened that the state did to the nationalist community. prior to the British, prior to direct rule, what the Unionist government did to the nationalist community. We were humiliated for 50 years. We had no rights, no say.
Danny, a few years ago I was in the prison service in the 80s, and I remember sitting watching young provosts, young men supported the cause, you fought for the cause you fought for. And they, all they did, I remember coming to the conclusion after a few months, all they did was waste their lives. And what have they got to show for it? Martin McGuinness sitting in Stormont. Is that what it was all about?
Well, you see, Martin McGuinness spent
decades of their lives rotting in prison, and others rotted on the ground for what? Martin McGuinness to be the Deputy First Minister. Is that what it was about?
Do you think that Martin McGuinness was an aberration in Stormont?
Is that what it was about, Danny?
Martin McGuinness and and other ex-prisoners, for example, former hunger strikers like Raymond McCartney and Pat Sheehan, and former prisoners like Carol Nicoolan and many, many others, Jerry Kelly, etc. All of those people were elected by the nationalist The nationalist community has chosen Sinn Féin, over the SDLP
as
its elected representatives. Now, it's a work in progress. Of course it's not over. The struggle, my aspirations have not been achieved. But what I am saying is that in the interest of peace, reconciliation, we are pursuing those through the ballot box.
But Danny, you're ignoring the fact that you only became bigger than the SDLP when you put down your guns. While the IRA were fighting their war, they didn't get the majority support from the nationalist community. They only did once they put the guns down. So that maybe says something where their support lies and what
they had the majority. In my opinion, the Republican struggle had a majority support amongst people in the working class and in rural areas who felt oppressed by the state.
Of course, there were middle-class Catholics
who did not support
Danny,
the
IRA. Let me ask you this just before you go this morning. Martin McGuinness has said that Stormont's government would be hanging by a thread if the current crisis, in other words, the welfare reform crisis, isn't resolved by September. Mm-hmm. Gerry Adams has said that the political structures face collapse. What's your read of it? Do you think we'll be gone by September, October?
I think so. I mean, the British government, I think that what they've been asked to do here is increase the funding annually by $600 million. Whenever they're able to find money, Stephen, when they need it. They're able to find £29 billion to fight wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, the cost of bombing Libya, they spent 13 times more on bombing Libya than they did on rebuilding the country. And by the way, and the conflict is ongoing there with two rival governments.
So you think the institutions are going to collapse?
Well, I have been of that opinion for about a year now.
But you think they're going to collapse in September, do you?
Well, something has to give. And as the British Treasury, I mean, it is within their gift. It is within their gift to redefine how the money comes here and how it is spent. It is within their gift to do that.
But did you not say, and correct me if I've got this wrong, but I thought you told us before that you would rather the British implement the cuts than Republicans.
No, what I told you was that, well, I mean, you're quoting me almost accurately. What I said was that if I was a Republican, I would not implement the cuts. And even if that meant that I lost my power, at least I would have the honour of knowing and the nobility of knowing that I wasn't inflicting those cuts on disabled people, on unemployed people, on the long-term sick. And I believe, by the way, that many working-class unionists also support the Sinn Féin's position on total opposition to austerity.
Doug Beattie, do you think the institutions will fall in September?
No, Stephen, I don't. And I'm of the view that there will be, as there always is in Northern Ireland, the last-minute fudge, that something will be put across the table that will help people save face. And this is what it's all about here. It's about people saving face. And they're willing to put the institutions in jeopardy just to save that face. So I think there will be a fudge close to the margins, and the institutions will be saved.
Okay, interesting stuff, Danny. Thank you.
Good morning,
Doug Beattie. Thank you very much indeed.